Go ahead, I'll be turning to your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. Good morning, it's great to see everyone. How are we doing? You guys sound a little subdued. Or is it me? Huh? His aunt said it's me. I don't think so. How you doing? Okay. Go ahead and give the person sitting to you a high five. I just want to make sure you're alive. We got to get the energy level up in here. I'm very excited. Because 2 weeks from today, we're going to be having our International Sunday. Our brother, Damien Jean-Baptiste from Barbados, will be preaching. We will be in the theater for that service. And we'll come out afterwards and feast on the lunch over here. Okay, now, I need us all in the next 48 hours to sign up with your family groups, what you're going to be cooking and bringing. You should have done that by now. Okay? So, in the next 48 hours, you need to sign up what you're going to bring. And basically, each person is going to be bringing like 2 items. In other words, you bring 1 dish, and you know they'll tell you how many it needs to serve, and something else. Are you with me?
Yes.
The whole point is, please do not come to church empty-handed. Okay? We want to eat your food too.
Yeah.
Amen, church?
Amen.
And so please sign up in the next 48 hours. And I've been asked to tell you that you need to label, even when you sign up, tell us what you're cooking and tell us what country it's from. In other words, you make tandoori chicken. Guess where that is from? It's from India. So you need to put India. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever it is you're making. Well, I'm making mac and cheese. Fine. American. All right? But label what you're bringing. Amen, church?
Amen.
But before I get into my lesson, I want to introduce a sister to us. She's visiting from the church in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Renata, where are you? Can you go ahead and stand up? Welcome. Welcome to Atlanta. Could you increase the bass in that thing? Let's see. 1 Peter chapter 19. The last several midweeks, I've been talking about prayer. A particular aspect of prayer when God tells us no. And when God tells us to wait. In terms of how do we react and how do we respond to that. On Thursday, I started talking about how sometimes God does not say yes to our prayers because there's a broken relationship, either with your spouse or with other people. You need to go fix that relationship, and then God will listen to you. We talked about how sometimes we pray contradictory prayers. One person is praying for rain for their crops. Somebody else is praying for sunshine so they can have a great picnic. I'm sorry, God can't answer yes to both. And so sometimes they will say yes to you and no to somebody else. And then also I started talking about how sometimes the timing is not right. Where God sees everything. God knows everything. And so sometimes we ask things of him and he makes us wait. That's okay too. Are you listening to me? And so I want to kind of continue from there this morning. Let me take that off the screen. That's going to be the last thing I do. Let's see here. So the title of my lesson is the same as Thursday night. I still need an explanation. I'm going to continue talking about that this morning. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 19. Sometimes God tells us no because he has something better in store for us. I like this one. And we're going to talk about it. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me hear this Bible's turning. First Kings chapter 19. Verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Alan Rouse talked about this morning in his class. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of those, like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servants there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread, baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Let's stop right there. Alan referred to this morning where right after Mount Carmel, or the showdown on Mount Carmel, so to speak, Elijah and God won a great victory. God consumed the sacrifice from heaven with fire from heaven. And right after that, Elijah had all the prophets of Baal slaughtered. Jezebel heard about it and she says, "You know what? You're dead meat." Basically. That's my paraphrase. And what did the Bible say here? Elijah was afraid, and the Bible says he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant, and then he goes on and says, he's praying, "Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down and he fell asleep. This is amazing. I've read this story so many, many times. He just won a great victory for God. He was on cloud 9, so to speak. And this evil queen says, "You know what? You're dead." And this incredible prophet, this great prophet of God, ran for his life, the Bible says. Wow. So much so that now he's praying, "God, take my life. God, I want you to kill me right now." Wow. He was that depressed. But what did God do? God didn't kill him. He says, "Take my life." God says, "You ain't going out that way." Elijah prayed to be killed. You know, this is a very unusual prayer because usually people that are healthy don't pray that, you know, God would kill them. When I hear of people praying for death, it's usually people in chronic pain or people in hospital and just they can't take the pain anymore. And then they start praying for God, you know, to bring on death. Not a healthy person. This is very unusual. God says, "Nah, I'm not going to kill you. If anything, I'm going to feed you." He feeds him twice because he's got to go 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Horeb. Now, something very interesting happens. Now, look in 2 Kings. And we'll pick up the story from there. 2 Kings chapter 2. Remember, he prayed that God will kill him, right? That was the request. Let's find out what God did. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I would not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elijah replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Jericho. Elijah is trying to shake him off, but Elisha is not buying it. The company of the prophets, verse 5, at Jericho, went up to Elisha and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied, but do not speak of it. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over it on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. You have asked a difficult thing, Elijah said. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and it crossed over. Did you see it? God gave him something much, much better. He says, God, kill me. Take my life. He didn't die. God did a whole lot more than he was asking for. Like Alan again mentioned this morning, these are one or two people in the scriptures that we know of that never died. Enoch is the first one. The Bible says God just took him. Here's the second example, where they're walking along, all of a sudden, chariots of fire appear from nowhere, and they just took him. Whoop! And they swooped him up. We're talking some serious special effects here. Okay? This is way before Spielberg and all these guys, you know, knew what to do. God did it right here. The man asked to die. God says, no, you're not going to die. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to bring you to the other side, you know, in a spectacular fashion. And I bring that up because sometimes God will do that for us. When we're praying for one thing, but God has something better in store for us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I mean, this is cool. A lot of times, you know, you're praying. Maybe you're looking for a job. And okay, God, you know, could you, I need a job where I can make this much money and be able to pay my bills and whatever. And God says, no, I'm going to give you something better. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put another 20 grand on that income that you're asking for. God does that. Are you with me? Sometimes, again, we even lose our jobs. I spoke to several brothers in the last several days who've been informed by their companies that, you know, their services are no longer needed. And I said this to all of them. I said, God has something better for you, number one. And your prayer needs to be that God will lead you to the place where you will be able to glorify Him.
That's right.
I said, I promise you, you're going to get that job very quickly. Don't just be praying for any kind of job. Pray for the job where God's name is going to be glorified.
Amen.
Amen? Pray for the job where God will use you in that place. Those are the kind of prayers He answers. He will do more than you are asking for. Amen? That's exciting. You know, it's amazing. Okay, it's tough to lose a job. Again, I'm making numbers up. Let's say they were paying you $50,000 a year on that job. Okay? And then they call you in. Sorry. We're going to lay you off, plus some other people. And you're like, wow, what am I going to do? Obviously, you start looking for work. Amen? You start praying and start looking for work. They go hand in hand. Amen, church? Don't just be praying. God is not going to come knock on your door and say, hey, there's a job opening at IBM. It doesn't work that way. You got to pray, and then you got to get out there and get your resume out and, you know, network, and then God will show you where he wants you. Are you listening to me? That's the way it works. God will do his part when we do our part. But anyway, and so you are making 50 grand a year. But God wants to give you more. Okay? Are you listening to me? God wants to give you more so that you can glorify him more, so that you can give more to him. But the only way he's going to do it is by getting you fired. Are you listening to me? Sometimes farmers will experience a drought because God wants them to grow a different kind of crop. Because, this is not working. I'm going to have to grow some drought-resistant crops. And maybe that's what God is trying to get you to do. But sometimes, a lot of times, he will do much more than you're asking. Are you listening to me? But that's exciting. Because again, remember what I've been saying the last several weeks. God sees all this stuff from a total different vantage point. You and I can only see today. You and I can only barely anticipate what will happen tomorrow. But God is already in tomorrow. He's already at next week. He's already 5 years down the road. Are you listening to me? And that's why you and I can trust that no matter what, even when the answer is no, even when the answer is you got to wait a little bit, that he has something better planned for you. Are you listening to me? This is exciting. This was a much far better way to go than Elijah had prayed for. You know, if I ask this morning, how many people want to go to heaven? Every hand is going to go up in this place. Okay? Now the question is, how many of you want to die? You're not going to see a lot of hands go up. But guess what? For you to get to the other side, you got to pass through death. You say, well, I want God to take me the way he took Elijah. Well, keep praying. I hope he does it for you. I doubt it. Because he hasn't done it in thousands of years. I'm not saying he can't do it. And I'm not saying he won't do it in your situation. But chances are, you and I are going to go like everybody else. Are you listening to me? But the exciting thing is, God sometimes will do much more than we're asking. Amen? Let me give you another example. As a matter of fact, before I get to that, look in Jeremiah 29. A passage we're very familiar with, but I want to read again just to encourage us so that we don't give up on our prayer, so that we don't give up on the Lord. In Jeremiah 29, in verse 11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." For some of us, this is our most favorite passage in the Bible. God says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope." Are you listening to me? You and I, we serve an awesome God. We serve a good God. And so, there are times when, you know, things don't work out the way you want them to. That's okay. In the overall scheme of things, it's going to work out for your benefit. Because God is a good God. Because God hears your prayers. And the fact that he says no today doesn't mean it's no forever. Amen, church? We got to hang in there. We got to keep on trusting him. Now look in Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at another request. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 20. Matthew 20, in verse 20. "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places have belonged to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We're very familiar with this passage. Mrs. Zebedee showed up with her two boys. He said, "Lord," he said, she knelt down to ask for a favor. Okay? Says, "What is it you want?" Jesus asked. Say, "Can you have James on one side of you and John, his brother, on the other side of you when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Those places have been prepared for certain people. And I cannot grant that request." That's what he said. But he says, "You will indeed drink the cup for which I am drinking, but I can't grant your request. Sorry, the answer is no." I wish all the mothers in the world would pray this for their children every day. I mean, this is an incredible request if you think about it. Notice, Jesus didn't say, "This is wrong of you." I mean, think about it. Which mother would not want for her sons and her kids to be as close to Jesus as possible? This needs to be our prayer. I'm talking of on a daily basis, where we're imitating the mother of Zebedee's sons. Say, "I want my kids to be close to you, God." There's nothing wrong with the prayer. Are you with me? She was asking for certain positions which she never got. But this is a great model for us parents in here. I never saw that before. Now, you know what? Come to think about it. Why didn't Jesus rebuke her for her request? I mean, how can you fault somebody for wanting your kids to be close to you, the Almighty? That's the reason I believe he didn't rebuke her. Are you with me? But you see, they're saying, again, I bring that up because sometimes we pray for certain things, but the matter is already decided in heaven. My prayer, your prayer is not going to change that situation. We just don't know what those things are. What in the world? This thing is getting ahead of me. We'll get to that in a second. Because we all pray differently based on our personalities. I think you're going to enjoy this. We're not all the same. Amen? Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. And it affects the way we pray. Believe it or not. But we'll get to that in a second. I just need to put this thing down. I think that would help me. I'm getting distracted. Matthew chapter 17. Let me give you another example. Again, we know the story. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. It's amazing. These guys were already in the inner circle. Their mom wanted them to be even closer. You will notice a lot of times in the scriptures, when Jesus would go places, he would take these three guys with him. You remember he had 12 apostles, but three of them were in the quote-unquote inner circle. And so this is one of those times. He took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah. The guy who never died. Okay, we just read about him in 1 Kings. 2 Kings, rather. Talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, we will put up three shelters. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." That was his request. Okay, I love this story. You can just imagine. Jesus says, "You know, guys, we need to go up to the mountain." They had no idea what was about to happen. They get up there. The Bible says he was transfigured before them. He shone like the sun. And then the cool part was, not only that, Elijah and Moses, guys that according to the scriptures, they had gone on to the other side for hundreds of, and thousands of years. All of a sudden, they just show up. I don't know about you, this is cool, man. I mean, think about this for a second. Here we are, we're having church. And God decides, you know what? Moses and Elijah, you know, I'll send him there to go visit them at Meadow Creek this afternoon. And they just show up. And you left this place. And you call people. You are not going to believe what I just saw. Do you think people are going to believe you? I don't think so. They're going to say, that didn't happen. What have you been drinking? Nobody's going to believe you. These two guys showed up. Another passage talks about how they didn't know what to say. They looked at Jesus and said, you know, can we put up three shelters? That was their request. Watch what God did. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard it, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus instructed, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Now, we don't know if they obeyed that instruction or not. I don't think they did. I think James and John told their mom. And I think that's what motivated her later on to come and say, "You know, Lord, hey, could you let my son sit on your right and on your left?" But again, we don't have the account, but he told them not to tell anybody. They asked for shelters. Instead, they heard the voice of God.
Right.
Wow! That's incredible! God came through the cloud and said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Bible tells us they were terrified. You'd be terrified too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm terrified by lightning and thunder. I can't imagine what God's voice must sound like.
Yeah.
You would quake too. But the exciting thing is, they asked for shelters, but God allowed them to hear his voice. That's amazing to me. And I believe this experience really helped those guys much later on when the church got started. Because they had seen and experienced certain things. And despite the persecution, and as they went around preaching the gospel, you know, they said, "You know what? Hey, I heard the voice of God. I saw Jesus transformed before me. And I need to keep on going. Because this is true." Are you listening to me? But so, I bring that up because sometimes we will ask God for one thing and he will do something else. He would even do much more than we're expecting. And we've got to always remember to all the answered prayers that God has done for us already. There are times when, honestly, you just need to take stock and just relax. And just try and remember all the different things that you've prayed for that God has done. And a lot of cases where he's gone way beyond. It's amazing to me. Again, God has incredible plans for us, incredible hope for us. What may seem like disappointment, God may use it to his glory later on. And I forget, coming to this country back in 1980, and I got my bachelor's in accounting. And while I was doing that, I said to myself, okay, I can't do accounting for the rest of my life. You know, just doing numbers. I decided, okay, let me get an MBA, and I also want to go to law school. And the school, actually where I was, they had a combined program where you could take the MBA and the law at the same time. And instead of 5 years, it would take you four. And so I applied. You had to apply to the two colleges separately. And I applied for the MBA, and I applied for the law degree, but it was a joint program. The MBA school, the business school, accepted me. The law school said no. And I remember being very, very disappointed. Really crushed. Saying, okay, fine. I'm going to have to finish this MBA and then go to law school for 3 years. That's a long time. I ended up being in school for 8 years straight. But anyway, I remember being very depressed about it. And again, praying, you know, begging God through all this stuff. And God says no. So much so that all the law schools that I applied to were all in the South. I was tired of the cold weather. I was up in Connecticut. I said, I'm getting out of here. It's too cold. I'm not used to this. I wasn't born this way. You know? People, oh, snow is pretty. Yeah, it looks nice for one day, and then I'm done. But anyway, so all the schools I applied to were all in the South. University of Florida, University of Miami, University of Houston, University of San Diego. I mean, I just wanted to get out of the cold weather. But God had other plans. Because I got into University of San Diego Law School, and I got to University of Florida Law School. But University of Florida Law School gave me a scholarship. I told you the story before, but I'm not going to repeat it. But see, it was while I was at Florida that I started studying the Bible seriously for the first time. And that was where I became a Christian. You see, I wanted my MBA and my law degree from Connecticut. God says, no, I got bigger plans for you. God told me no back then and took me somewhere else. Not so much that I could go to law school, so that I could become a Christian. And here I am, almost 27 years later. And so I use that as an example again. You know what? I've seen this work in my life over and over and over and over again. That there will be times in your life when you look back and then you will understand what God was doing. And what God, why God told you no. Or you're going to have to wait on this. Are you listening to me? But what do we do in the meantime? We got to remain faithful. Because God knows what He's doing. Amen, church? Always think about how faithful God has been to you. We should be satisfied with God. I mean, think about it. What if God never answered another request of ours? Would we be happy? I say we should. Because for me, it's not about the answered prayers, it's about God. My faith is not about the fact that God, you know, answers my prayers. My faith is in the object of my prayers. You can take all this stuff. As long as I've got God, as long as you've got God, you've got everything. Now, praise God for the blessings. Praise God for the answered prayers. That's just gravy. But our faith needs to be in God, not in the fact that our prayers are being answered. It's okay, and we should ask things of God because He asks things of us. It's a relationship. Amen? Amen. But the thing is, does God hear from you every day? How often does the Almighty hear from you? You know, these days we have something called caller ID on our phones. It didn't used to exist a few years ago. And so much so now that, depending on the kind of phone you have, you know, you can program that thing to, it gives a different ringtone when your loved ones are calling. That's what I did when I found out I could do it on my phone. And so now, when my wife and my two daughters call me, it's a different ringtone. When that phone rings, I know it's one of them. And I always pick it up, no matter what I'm doing. I will interrupt whatever it is I'm doing for my family. These are the only people I do it for. I love you, you're also family, but you're a different ringtone. Okay? I'm just telling you now, and you know it. But I say that to say, honestly, you know, when your family calls you, whether you like it or not, you answer the phone differently. You know? When the caller ID comes on and you see it's one of your kids or your spouse, hi, honey. You know, when you see a number you don't recognize, you don't pick up the phone and go, hi, honey. You don't. You're like, hello? Who's this? Oh, how you doing? The question is, does God hear from us so often that He knows our ringtone? Or are you one of those that just calls Him up when you need something? When you want something? We're talking about a relationship. If God only hears from you when you want something of Him, you don't want God. In a sense, you're trying to use Him. And he knows it. Are you with me? It should be that, you know, God hears from us and wants to hear from us. Because he knows that ringtone. Oh, here she comes. I'm going to hear from her in the morning. I'm going to hear from him in the afternoon. I'm going to hear from him all day long. My Bible says pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Amen? God shouldn't just hear from us when we need something from him. He should be hearing from us continuously. Now let's get to this stuff. Our personalities determine how we pray, believe it or not. Okay? Now let me see if I can get this thing working. Okay. We pray differently based on our personalities. All right? Now, I want you to recognize yourself as we go through this very quickly. All right? What kind of person are you? Are you an extrovert or are you an introvert? Okay? Only you know that. Are you a sensing person or are you intuitive? All right? So pick one letter from each of those. From the top, from the second row, from the third, are you thinking? Are you a thinking person? Are you a feely-feely kind of person? Okay? And then the last row, are you somebody who's judging or do you perceive things? Okay? This is Myers-Briggs, by the way. The Myers-Briggs personality table. All right? So you should have four letters. Okay? Just determine who you are. Are you with me? I got to keep on going. Now, it's funny. People that are extroverts, sensing, thinking, and judging, this is how they pray. Lord, help me not to try and run everything. But if you need some help, just ask. If you want to be honest, if you're that kind of person, that's the way you pray in your mind. Okay? ESTP, 4% of the population basically. Lord, help me take responsibility for my actions, though they are usually not my fault. Okay? That's how people like that pray. ESFJ, Lord, give me patience, and I mean right now. Okay? And then ESFP, and in bracket are people that are like this. Lord, help me take things more seriously, especially parties and having fun. Okay? ENTJ, Lord, help me slow down and not to rush through what I do. That's me. That's my personality. ENTP, Lord, help me follow established procedures today. On second thought, I'll hold off. ENFG, Lord, help me do my part and trust you for the rest. Do you mind putting that in writing? ENFP, Lord, help me to keep my mind on one thing. Look at a bird at a time. In other words, they can't concentrate. Okay? ISTJ, Lord, help me to relax about insignificant details starting tomorrow at 11:41 and 23 seconds a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some of you are like that. ISTP, Lord, help me to consider the feelings of others, even if most of them are hypersensitive. ISFJ, Lord, help me to be more laid back and help me to do it exactly right. ISFP, 7% of the population. Lord, help me to stand up for my rights, even if you don't mind my asking. INTJ, Lord, keep me open to the idea of others, wrong though they may be. INTP, Lord, help me be less independent, but let me do it my way. INFJ, Lord, help me not to be a perfectionist. Did I spell that correctly? INFP, Lord, help me finish everything that's supposed to be start. Okay? But I put this up there because it is very true to a lot of extent in terms of your personality determines how you pray. and the way you ask things of God, and the way you approach God. But the cool thing is, no matter what your personality is, God wants to hear from you. Because all prayer is talking to God. God wants us to keep on coming to Him. Yes, there will be times He will tell us yes. There will be times He will tell us flat no. And there will be times He will say not now. The important thing is that you and I keep on praying. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what kind of prayers you're praying. Just keep praying, because God will not put you off forever. Amen?
Amen.
God bless.
All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the service we've had this morning, Lord. Lord, thank you for Mr. Richard and just his message that he brought this morning. Lord, I pray that we trust you with our prayers, Lord. I pray that we can, God, when we're praying, that we understand that you have our best interests. God, I know it's so hard for us to not think that you have our best interests in mind throughout our, you know, the prayers that we have, Lord. But God, help us to trust that. God, thank you again for today. God, I pray that you're with us as we leave, and that we're safe. In your son's name I pray. Amen.